How many seats are up for grabs in the next federal election? Well, there's 150 seats in the House of Reps, and if you add in the 76 seats in the Senate, that's 226 in total in the Parliament. But in 2025, it's a half Senate election, so there are 40 Senate seats up for grabs, making a total of 190. And now on Sunday Extra, we thought we would metaphorically unfurl the long Senate ballot paper to look at those 40 Senate seats up for grabs in this election with election analyst and the editor of the tallyroom.com.au, Ben Rowie. Ben, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Hello.
Now, astute mathematicians will have noticed that 40, Ben, is more than half of 76. Can you remind us up front why a half-Senate election involves more than 50% of the Senate seats?
Yeah, it's one of these little extra bits that's been bolted on to the way that the Parliament works over time, which is the territory senators. So there's two for the ACT and two for the Northern Territory. They only serve 3-year terms. And interestingly, if there was to be a separate House and Senate election, they actually get elected alongside the House, not alongside the rest of the Senate. Not that that has happened at all in my lifetime. We haven't had a separate Senate election. So because they are elected every 3 years, it's 40 out of 76.
And does that make the nature of the Senate battles in the ACT and the Northern Territory kind of different in substance from the big state ones?
They're very different, yeah. When you only elect two people per state, it means the quota to get elected is about a third of the vote. And traditionally, that has meant Labor gets one seat, the Coalition gets one seat, end of story. And that is still pretty much the case in the Northern Territory. Thankfully for the Northern Territory, they have interesting lower house seats because their upper house race is not interesting at all. It's going to be one Labor, one CLP. We've had a bunch of false starts where it looked like maybe we were going to have someone beat the Liberals for the ACT Senate second seat, but it finally happened last election when David Pocock won that seat. So the ACT now looks a bit more interesting. Basically, as these major party votes have dropped, we've got to a point where David Pocock did something similar to what the Teals did in the House of Representatives, and that he took a bunch of progressive voters, Labor and Greens voters who had tried, their parties had tried to win that second seat unsuccessfully. They went over and voted for him. And he was able to peel off enough extra Liberal voters to also win that seat. But it's a very different dynamic. It is a bit more like a House seat in that the personalities of the candidates matter more, and it's less about just voting for the party ticket.
And so David Pocock is up for election again this time. What are the polls looking like in the ACT? Is he likely to retain his seat?
We don't usually get polls for Senate races or for even for the territory in general, but he seems to be in a strong position. I think he will benefit from a personal vote surge like I think a lot of the independents in the House will. He seems like he's in a pretty strong position. The Canberra Liberals are in a bit of a mess at the moment. They had an aborted attempt to actually replace their candidate, which narrowly failed, which is not a great sign for your campaign when you keep the candidate around, but almost half of the people in the decision-making position wanted to get rid of them. So I think Pocock will get re-elected, and I think Labor will retain their seat. What we'll be interested in the future is, as an independent, is he able to build up his personal vote, maybe take more votes off the left? And I think he could well find himself becoming the safer senator in the ACT. And if there is a swing back to the right, it could be that Labor is in more trouble rather than him.
Now, you've told us, Ben, that you don't get polling about Senate seats. We're bombarded, of course, with opinion polls about who's the favoured of the major parties and who's likely to be the next prime minister, who's the preferred prime minister, those sort of things. So ahead of the actual information from the AEC tally room after the polls close, is there much to go on in terms of predicting how Senate races will go?
I think we can make some broad predictions because of the way the Senate works. In the House of Representatives, you have lots and lots of marginal seats, and each race is kind of a separate contest. And you could actually have a small change in the national vote flip a lot of seats one way or the other, and there's all these different local factors. In the Senate, though, it's just over 14% is a quota, and for every 14.3% of the vote you get an extra Senate seat. So in practice, almost every election, you get three left-wingers and three right-wingers elected in each state. On rare occasions, when one side has a big lead, they get what we call a 4-2 split, where the left gets four or the right gets four. And those are really rare, but they're really consequential because pretty much every other seat is split equally. It produces ties. Those rare non-ties kind of tip the balance. So last election, David Pocock's win was one of those. It was effectively a 2-0 split to the left. But also the Fatima Payman getting elected as the third Labor senator in Western Australia, along with a Green, meant WA also had that split. So most of the time you get that 3-3 split. And I think most elections this year, we will get those 3-3 splits. What we think will happen is that Labor is only defending one seat in Queensland, along with one Green senator. So probably Labor will gain a second seat in Queensland, and that will shift the balance of the Senate one seat towards Labor. There's also a question about whether Labor does have a chance of a 4-2 split. They're doing really well in the polls right now in Western Australia and South Australia. And if there's a repeat of the last election in Western Australia, you could see three Labor along with a Green senator producing one of those 4-2 splits there. And so that gives you a broad sense of what we think will happen on the left. On the right, there is a little bit more competition. You know, there's no minor party as strong as the Greens on the right, but there's a lot of different people competing for that third right-wing Senate seat in each state.
And Benny, could you just remind us, what is the current state of the seats, and I suppose in particular the crossbench of the current Senate, and what implications that has in terms of who's up at this half-Senate election?
Yep. So thanks to Fatima Payman and David Pocock getting elected last election, there was kind of a clear progressive majority of Labor, Greens, David Pocock, and then you had the two Jackie Lambie Network senators that were also kind of like another reasonable option for Labor, outside of situations where they were doing a deal with the coalition, which does happen quite regularly. There's been a number of defections from parties since then, which is worth noting. There were three. Tammy Tyrrell left the Jackie Lambie Network, Fatima Payman left the Labor Party, and Lydia Thorpe left the Greens. All three of those senators have another 3 years left in their term, so all of them will still be there. So that overall group of progressive senators, if Labor wants to pass legislation without the coalition support, they need the Greens. They also need three more senators. And, you know, depending on how this election goes, if they get an extra seat in Queensland, that means they only need two more. If they then win an extra seat in Western Australia or South Australia, that could get them slightly closer to that majority. So overall, there is a progressive majority in the Senate. That crossbench does lean to the left. And, you know, Labor does have lots of options. But if they can win a couple of extra seats, it means they need less of those other senators to pass legislation.
But from what you've said, Ben Rowie, it doesn't sound like there's a realistic prospect of a Labor majority in the Senate.
No, not at all. They are about as far away from a Labor majority in the Senate as they have been since we've had proportional representation in the Senate. At the beginning of the last term, they had 26 senators, and you need 39 for a majority. So they were barely two-thirds of the way to a majority. And what that reflects is that the Labor primary vote is now so much lower than it used to be. And in the House of Representatives, sometimes that doesn't matter because they get preferences from the Greens and other parties and they win a majority. But because the Senate is more proportional, with that kind of vote, really you're only getting two senators in each state. And that's a long way short of a majority. So Labor won't have a prospect of getting a majority, neither will the coalition. I do think it will be a progressive balance of power. So if somehow Peter Dutton does win the election, I think they're going to have not particularly friendly senators holding the balance of power. They might need to be working with people like David Pocock and Jackie Lambie, or even some of those left-wing party defectors to get majorities in the Senate, which isn't going to be particularly easy.
You mentioned Jackie Lambie. She is up this time. Mm-hmm. And you've also said that personalities are less of a factor in the Senate. But with someone like Jackie Lambie, obviously her profile is very high. How do you think she is looking? And are there other high-profile senators who are more likely to be at risk this time around?
Yeah, I mean, as the states get smaller, I think personalities come back into it. So it is true, Tasmania does have a bit more of that. People vote more based on the personalities of individual senators. You know, before Jackie Lambie, we had Brian Harradine for a long time in Tasmania. You know, these figures that probably wouldn't do as well in a state like New South Wales, but in Tasmania, which is, it's smaller, you get to know more people, you're more likely to be in the media as a senator for Tasmania. So that has worked for her. She's had some falling outs with her fellow Tasmanians in her own party now. She got three people elected to the Tasmanian State Parliament last year, but only one of those three members is still in her party. And she's fallen out with Tammy Tyrrell, who was elected on her ticket last time. So we don't know how well she'll do. Interestingly, she hasn't run anyone else with her in Tasmania in the lower house, but instead she's running other Senate candidates in other states around the country. The most notable of whom is Rex Patrick in South Australia. He was an Xenophon team senator in a previous era, lost his seat at the last election. He's coming back to run again. I don't think he's likely to win, but having the Jackie Lambie branding is probably a boost for him.
The way Senate voting has worked in the past led to the rise of a very unusual political phenomenon, the preference whisperer in upper houses. That seems to be less of a factor these days. Why is that? And is there still, you know, serious preference whispering going on this election?
Yeah, it's important for people to know that the system did actually change, like the law changed, the way the voting works did change. And that happened in 2016, just before that year's election. So the system under which the preference whispering worked was abolished at a federal level. It still exists in Victoria for state elections, but we've gotten rid of it for Western Australia and South Australia and for the Senate. So preferences do still matter, but they are up to the voter. You know, the voter marks their own ballot paper and people will hand out how to vote cards, and you are free to either listen to those recommendations or to ignore them. One of the most interesting things is that the Liberal Party is giving their number two preference to One Nation. For a lot of these small parties, they might put something on a how to vote card, but if they can't get those how to vote cards in front of voters because they don't have that many volunteers, it doesn't actually make that much of a difference. But the coalition will have a lot of people on booths, so them giving a number two preference to One Nation could give One Nation a boost if they find themselves in a race for the final seat in a number of states.
And just finally, Ben, you're willing to make a prediction for how the Senate will pan out after this election? It's a pretty tough one to call.
Yeah, I think Labor has an advantage because those senators elected last time are still there, and that was a pretty left-leaning election. So I think we will have a progressive majority in the Senate. Obviously, Labor, it seems to be doing well at the moment in the polls and is likely to retain government. If the coalition wins government, though, I think they will have a little bit more trouble in the Senate.
And of course, with all the mention of Fatima Payman and the defections from the Jackie Lambie party, the result on federal election day is just one part of the crossbench puzzle in the Senate, because people can chop and change after they get their seats as well, particularly if they're in states where they get 6 years in that seat.
Absolutely. The numbers are always evolving, and that extra 3 years does often play into it. I think that is a good argument for why it's not great that we have such long parliamentary terms, that, you know, if you want to leave your party, fair enough, but you probably do need to get a fresh mandate from the people. I am very interested as well to see what happens if any of the Trumpet of Patriots candidates or the One Nation candidates get elected, because both those movements have a history of getting people elected who don't stick around, who then go off and do their own thing. There's so many examples. We could spend all day listing examples of those people in One Nation and the United Australia Party as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if some of those people get elected, because a lot of those candidates aren't very high profile. We don't know a lot about them.
Well, watch this space. And as you say, certainly when it comes to the really minor parties, they really put the cross into crossbench. Ben Rao, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ben Rowie, election analyst and the editor of thetallyroom.com.au.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.